addition to his reputation as a performer, Gábor Tarkovy is also a noted teacher. And so the bonus room is devoted mainly to this aspect of his musical life. You're into a new career, which is teaching, and I'd like to talk about that some, if you don't mind. And the influences you got from your two main teachers, which were Georgi Geiger and then, of course, Hans Gansch. And I love this one story you talked about Geiger, that you saw him years after you studied with him, and you said, that was a really hard school. And he said something like, it's a very hard life. Was that correct?
Yeah. Because in Hungary was the scales, playing the scales.
Oh, scales.
Was a very
okay.
Important stuff in your study time. You have to play scales also in the exams. We have every 6 months exams in January and in June, every year. And the first step in the exam was scale. And the exam was together with the woodwinds. So the president from the exam was a clarinet player. And he tell you, okay, play fifth small.
F sharp minor.
Yeah, F sharp minor. And you have to play with five variations in two octaves. If you have mistakes in this scale, you have not the best note. Then coming the next scale. If you have mistakes in the next scale, one note lower.
Uh-huh.
This was a big step because for me it was important that I have the best notes because I have money from the state only if I have the best notes.
Uh-huh.
So I practiced a lot scales. And by Geiger, every Monday morning we have the class and the first step was scale. And we go in and beginning to play the scales. And after the second mistakes, he look and he tell, okay, you have one more chance.
Okay. And how old were you?
I was 18, 19, 20.
Okay.
And then if you have the third mistakes, you go out. Then your lesson was finished. And I practiced so a lot. I have never mistakes in 3 years in my scales.
Wow.
So I go never out. But some students come in and Geiger asks, okay, A major, B major. And the guy looks, okay, next week, without play.
Okay.
And after I play with Geiger some gigs together. And I ask him, but Yuri, this was a hard life with the scales, you know. And he asked me, what you mean? Yes, but you know the three mistakes. Yes, but it's also a hard life.
That's great.
If you have three mistakes in Petrushka, you have no jobs.
Yeah, so it's great training.
Yeah, that was the training.
I remember Tom Stevens told me that when he studied with Vacchiano, who was very, very hard also, he said that later when he was a professional, that Vacchiano told him, he said, I never worried if a student liked me when they studied with me, but if they didn't like me 10 years afterwards, then I worried. And his idea was that you had to be hard. You really had to know your stuff and you had to be able to take criticism.
Yes. But I try to teach a little more friendly, but real.
Yes. And Hans Gansch, what did you get from Hans Gansch?
Hans was Hans is a wonderful trumpet player. And I study with piston in Hungary. And I won also my first job with piston trumpets in Germany. And I have not a really idea how we can play beautiful with rotary trumpets. I not know that. And then I heard first time Hans in my life, and this was a wonderful evening and a wonderful time. And I go after the concert to Hans, and I ask him if he have maybe a little time for that we drinking a beer and we talking about his sound and his ideas. And then I go to learn to Hans. And Hans... I go to Vienna in the opera and I play the the standard excerpts and Haydn concerto, and I recorded the lessons, and then 6 months later, I go second time. Because I heard a lot of, maybe every week, two, three times, this lesson, and the difference from the sounds. Because Hans play a different man's piece, and different trumpets, and I ornate both. I ornate his trumpet and his man's piece. Because on the end, the lesson, he give his instrument me and he tell, okay, you can try. Maybe it's better to yours. And that sounds very, very good. And I think, okay, then it's better I go in 6 months again with his material. And that was the important step in my life in the direction to rotary trumpets. But Hans' musicality and Hans' articulation techniques and Hans talking and singing with the instrument was unique mm-hmm. for me. Then we play of time together in Probras, and we are good friends. And then I learn a lot from Hans. I try to copy his sound. It was not possible, but I think my sound was after better. Yeah, I try to copy many, many things. The slurs and the sad moments into play and the happy, maybe the march. So ta-ta-tap, ta-ta-tap, ta-ta-tap. That Hans played with many characters. And this was with the rotary trumpets. This was, I think, the much importance learn period in my life.
You know, I had a chance to meet him just one time, and it was with a group of people, and I was able to sit next to him at dinner, so we spoke some. And at that time, he told me that one of his goals was to, I guess he sails, was to sail around the world. I don't know if he ever did that or not, because this was maybe 10 years ago or something. But he seemed like such, not just a trumpet player, but really a great person. You know, that the trumpet was just one aspect of his personality, which I'm sure made him a much more complete musician as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And his students, he was very, very nice also with the students. Mm-hmm. But he was also here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how has your teaching changed through the years? When you first started to teach compared to now, do you teach differently now? Do you give different things for the students to do, or the fundamentals, is that slightly different?
Oh, I think I learn every day.
Yeah.
I have every day's news, and you teach so wonderful long time, you know that this is half psychology, have no horse, what we can do. And then I think the much important is that the students have love. So that he have a good feeling with me. We can do everything. So I like to teach friendly, but clear. And I learn technical stuff from days to days. And in the COVID time, I was in Hungary. I wrote many exercises to my students, maybe that he can practice it. And I wrote also a scale book now with some exercises from these ideas from this time. So if I have a problem, I try to help with helpful exercises. And maybe... Now I teach a lot with man's piece, only with man's piece, and maybe Haydn concerto with a -1 recording and man's piece.
Uh-huh.
Only intonation for the flow, for the ideas, and also with verb or I try to mix every ideas what I learn in my career in the orchestra. But every day is new. So we have a line, we know it's working. But every student is an individual and is different a little. And I try to manage.
Yeah. You've talked before about auditions that one of the main things, like when you're auditioning for an orchestra, that you're listening for when you're on a committee is sound. Is the sound good? And then, of course, intonation and you know, rhythm and all of that. But then you said once somebody has that, then what you're really listening for is character. In other words, do you want to hear some, if you're going to hear somebody play Mahler 5 or Pictures or something like that for 20 years, is that somebody that you're going to want to hear for 20 years? So as a teacher with students, do you think it's possible to teach character? I mean, each student would have their own particular character. How much can you influence that? If a student seems like they're technically good, but they're not very musical, do you think you can bring them along musically? Is that more of a challenge than the technical challenges? Which is more difficult for you, trying to help a student musically who's maybe not quite as advanced, or helping a student technically who's not quite as advanced?
Technically, is I think I talk a lot about articulation, because I think we have two big families for articulation. We have the little jazzy articulation and the little classical, the classical articulation. If I do a scale, maybe. You talk da 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 da. If you play Mahler fifth. Ta 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 ta. And not. I talk a lot, but I know that every person play a little different Mahler fifth. And if I play 20 times Mahler fifth, I have 10 or 20 different Mahler fifth. I have the same idea, but I have not the same moment. And if my students play a round and with good ideas accept, I think it's wonderful with good intonation. Because we have not to play the same, we have to play in the same direction. So if we play the B flat signals, we have to talk. And then not da 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 da. This is not so clear. We have to talk clear. And I think the lot of time I talk about this. Then the next step, the first step is articulation, and the next step is the articulation in the line, not alone. And if the students make all things, the articulation and line and the air flow together, then we have a good mix. But maybe Mahler fifth and Petrushka, you can play of different ways with a very high level. And I think the orchestras have no idea, okay, this is only the good Mahler fifth, because every players play a little different. The good style is a little different. If you play that in London or in Vienna or in Berlin or New York, the style is a little different. Martin Kretzer tell one times, you know, if you have a good player, this good player can play in New York, in Vienna, in Berlin, in every orchestras. He learned it very fast. What is his style? And I think this is important. And if I teach my students, I do that a lot of time, this story with Martin.
To be flexible.
This is, yeah, we have to think flexible, but we have to learn the accepts perfect, that we have a good product.
Right, right. When you were a student, and then also in your first job in Reutlingen, in the orchestra in Reutlingen, you practiced a lot. I mean, I remember you talking about in Reutlingen, you would practice after concerts even. How much do you want your students to practice?
In Reutlingen?
I mean, your students now, the students that you're teaching now in Berlin.
My idea for the students is, I think it's a good way if the students have four sections on the days. So a warm-up section. So daily exercises, maybe with vocalese, arpeggios, tonguing, scales. Then break. The next section, maybe etudes or pieces. Then the third section may be except, and the fourth section may be clerks or technical skills. But on the day, he have to work in the round. So not too high in the morning and not too high in the evening. And if you have four sections, four times 1.5 hour, then maybe you play three or 3.5 hours in this 6 hour time. And I think if the students have only one section on the day, then his level go lower after 2 weeks.
Yeah.
If the students have two sections, then the level stay. With three sections, go a little up, and with four sections, he have to go better and better. And important is that the students play not of one session a lot, too much. So maybe 15 or 20 minutes and then break. Because we can't concentrate it 30 minutes long. And the very important point is that we need concentration for the learn some things. And if the student is not concentrated, he lost his time. This is not really practice. This is only to do.
Right.
But really practice is with concentration together. And I think it's better not a lot, maybe only 2 hours on the day, four times 30 minutes, but this with concentration. But I learned also the piece from Berio, Sequenza. And in this time, I practice maybe a lot from morning to the evening. I learned to read the music and concentration of the three different articulations. And this was a difficult time. I was, I think every evening I am stupid. My head is not mine. But so if we have to learn difficult pieces, then we practice from morning to the evening what we can.
There was a piece I used to play called Krill by Robert Erickson that had quarter tones and things. And I remember that when I first learned it, I would spend 30 minutes on one line, and I'd come back the next day and it felt like I was sight reading. It felt like I had never learned it, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I know that. I know that feeling.
I like your recording, Krill.
Well, actually, the best recording of that, I don't know if it's on a CD, but on YouTube, actually, is Brian McVorter. I don't know if you've heard that or not. He has a really great one. And what he does really well that I didn't do on my recording was that he sings in the right octave. I sing one octave too low. I can't sing that high. So
if I was in Göttingen and that I go to you to Freiburg, that was a very, very important inspiration for me.
Really?
Because we work a lot in Reutlingen. We work every day. And if I have a free day in this period, maybe one year long, I go and work with you. And I have six cassettes, you know, recordings.
Yeah, yeah.
I recorded every lessons with you.
Really? Huh.
And I have the lessons also. And then I listening a lot, and then in 2 weeks I go again to you. And I never forgot that we work with the stamp methods.
Mm-hmm.
And we played and with Haydn concerto, and in my Fasch concert, you write me the variations of the trills, what we can do.
Oh, okay.
These trills, and I have now in my class.
Really?
In a classroom in Berlin.
Huh.
So I am very, very thankful for you for these great lessons, because technically and also musically, you give me lot of ideas But I have also today in my playing.
Wow, well, that's very nice of you to say. The thing that I remember that was for me that was so great just recently was when you came to take some lessons. Our daughter Kelsey, our son had not yet been born, and our daughter Kelsey, I think, was maybe 6 months old. Was that correct? About six months old, and then maybe about 3 years ago, you played in Baden-Württemberg, and Kelsey's now 29 years old, and Kelsey and her husband went with me, and we had lunch with you, and she was 26, and the last time you saw her, she was 6 months old, and that meant a great deal to me. So that was terrific. In fact, you were rehearsing the Verdi Requiem with Riccardo Muti. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
this was a Requiem.
Yeah. So, well, let's talk about a few non-trumpet things. Sort of speaking of our connection again, you had mentioned one time that you were going to go to Montauk, Long Island in New York on a vacation. And my wife's family has a house there. So I said, there's a hotel there called Memory Motel that I think it was in either the 70s or the 80s. The Rolling Stones stayed there for about a month and totally trashed the hotel. But they either did a hit song or an album called Memory Motel. And you sent a picture. You went to Memory Motel. And I remember you had the hat that you were wearing and you'd gone to the beach and then you went to the Memory Hotel. So you do a bit of traveling, obviously. You also like to exercise, I think. You jog and you swim, is that correct?
Yeah, if I can, I swim every week 2-3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And also in Berlin, I go jogging.
Uh-huh.
My house is on around a big park on Tiergarten, and then I can for jogging. And in Hungary, if I stay in Hungary, I swim. Now the new is that I with bicycle. I have a mountain bike, and this is the new activity that I like. So we get older, we have to.
Yeah. Be careful on the mountain bike, though.
Yeah. But I am not so fast.
Okay, good.
But
good.
But this was a nice time on Montauk.
Yeah, that's a lovely place.
You know, in Berlin, the best week for me was if we play the piece from, we play Petrushka in the first half, and in the second half, we play von Winton, the piece, String Symphony.
Oh, okay.
And this was for me the best week in Berlin, because Winton was a big hero for me from his recordings in the 80s for classical and jazz recordings. And then we meet in person. And this was beginning a very, very nice friendship. And we was a lot of time together. We meet not every month, but if we meet, it's friendship is very warm. So Winton was a very, very important person and is an important person for in my life from artistic and also from person. I think it's important that we are human.
Yes.
So, and if you have some artist that you know a long time, maybe also the best conductors. If you talk with the best conductors and you have a good conversation, you think, it's only also a person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this surprise for me every time important in my career.
You know, I've never met Wynton Marsalis, and I had a chance once and I blew it, which was I was on a plane from San Francisco to New York, and I noticed that he was on the plane, and I did not have the courage to go up and introduce myself. I was too afraid to introduce myself. So I've never met him. So hopefully sometime I'll have a chance to meet him. Well, let me end by asking you the most difficult question of all. I've saved the most difficult question to the end. And that is, we're recording this on December the 14th, 2022. And, as we're recording, France is playing Morocco in the half finals of the World Cup, and we don't know what's happening with that. So my difficult question is, and people will know the answer because this will come out after the event is over. Who do you think is going to win the World Cup?
It's
a tough question, huh?
Yeah, but I think I like Messi.
Yeah.
I think Messi play now maybe 18 years. And we have so wonderful football for Messi. I hope Argentina win now the World Cup.
Okay.
And I think after the match with Croatia, I think Argentina can do that.
So I guess Messi is sort of like the Gabor Tarkovy of football then.
No. I think Messi is more better.
Okay. Well, this has been...
Messi have not to do that 40 years long.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. We'll see how he does at 53 or 55.
Yeah. So I have one more 10 years or one more 12 years to play.
Okay. Well, this has been great, Gabor. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk. And I've learned a lot and it's been terrific. And thanks not only for tonight, but for your terrific career, which has been an incredible inspiration to so many people in so many different ways. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye.